Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, in thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me into thy habitation, where 'neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 417.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Romans, and thereof chapter 8, beginning with verse 1 to and including 27. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat Romans 8, the first 27 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard it in these moments out of thy holy word, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And thou knowest that world in which we do live with our children, and that it does groan under sin. For then there can be nothing under sin that is rejoicing in thee, Lord, that thou may cause us to turn therefrom. Oh, do deliver us therefrom and give us that liberty of the sons of God. For thy children, they also do groan under a body of sin and death. And we have heard in this morning hour what it is for those who have gone before us and that have been delivered from the bondage of corruption. O Lord, then they may walk in that light of thy glory. They may walk in the light of the Lamb, and who is able to comprehend those things, the things of eternity, whether it be that place of glory or whether it be in that place of eternal condemnation. And then it is so far beyond our finite comprehension. And then we can think upon these things for but a few moments. And our earthly and our carnal minds, they go down towards the earth once again. O Lord, wilt thou give, as we have sung it together, that light send forth. O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, that thou wouldst give it also among us in this afternoon hour, that there may be desires for it in the hearts of many. And when it has never been in the heart of this one or of that one, then thou art able to give it even in these moments. Oh, that we may receive the instruction of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou send him forth? Even in these moments when we are gathered round thy everlasting word and testimony, oh, that he may be given to come and to take up his dwelling in the hearts of both young and old alike. Oh, there is no other way that thou canst receive the glory that thou wilt have because of the suffering of thy only begotten Son, then there is no man that seeks after thee, O Lord. Then it is all death and it is all destruction. And we lie polluted in our own blood, cast out in the open field. And there is none that is able to deliver himself. Oh, we look upon to thee in these moments and this very solemn hour, because it is an hour that we are gathered in thy house. It is an hour for which we will have to give an account on that great day of days. Oh, Lord, wilt thou impress these matters upon our hearts, and that that word that will come unto us even in this hour when thou wilt give it, and then it shall be for our accountability on that great day of days. And that thou wilt ask what we have heard, and that thou wilt ask what we have also done with it. And then who is able to answer one question of 1,000 unto thee? O Lord, then we look upon to thee. For we can give ourselves nothing, and we are in and of ourselves only from the head to the foot, full of iniquity and of sin. Then we rely upon thee. That thou thyself would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Wilt thou take us for thy own account? And wilt thou grant us that instruction that is necessary, O Lord, between the cradle and the grave, because it is a serious matter that we carry with us a soul, but we have no impression thereof as we go careless over this world. Lord, who has the power but thee? Dost not thou say that thou art the Alpha, that thou art the beginning? Oh, that thou wouldst do it then also for us and for our children, because thou sayest, ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. O Lord, we beseech thee then even in these moments, even when it may be that it is only in an outward way, and yet our supplication that comes before thee, O Lord, that thou thyself may take us for thine own account. Wilt thou remember in this way young and old, because there are some of us that have traveled all our life, even to our old age, and we are still standing outside of that narrow way. O Lord, then it is a serious matter for us when the end of our life that is come upon us, and we still have not that which we need to die. O Lord, could it please thee then to give an earnestness in the hearts of each and every one, because we are those who are so careless in this world, and then so suddenly we are becoming sick, we are becoming afflicted, or there is an accident, and then we are so quickly lying upon that bed from which we will no more come up, and standing before that great and decisive moment, O Lord, that this day may not come upon us and our children unawares, then we need to be awakened out of our sleep, and thou alone art he that is able to do it. O Lord, we beseech it of thee then in thy mercy. Wilt thou remember young and old together? Look thou upon each and every one of thy dear children. We have heard it out of thy word. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But thou knowest how fleshly that we are. Oh, that thou may give by renewal, that spirit may take up his abode in a feeling, in a believing way, and that he may lead us, that he may guide us into all thy truth, that thou may cause the carelessness to be put away, and that we may be brought once again unto our knees before thee. In our great need, for there is deliverance. In our hunger and our thirst, because there is an eating and there is a drinking. Lord, that thou may supply for all the needy which have been laid before thee in this morning hour. Thou knowest where they are. And we understand also that there are those here and there that are sick. Wilt thou grant health and strength once again, especially unto the children who must begin school in this week. And wilt thou supply that they also may take up the labors of their hands. Remember fathers and mothers. Give unto us that diligence and that faithfulness to bring up our children in the tender fear of thy name, and that thou may go forth with thy holy word when it is brought before our children in the season that is to come. Wilt thou give also prosperity among us when the fathers are going to the places of their labors in the fields, in the places of their work in the midst of this world? Because thou knowest, O Lord, that there are also causes. And when we think about thy house, and when we think about the poor, and when we think about our school and the mission and the theological school, all the causes that need to be upheld and that need to be supported. Oh, that thou would give the means therefore, but also liberal hearts. For thou didst say, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Oh, that thou may give hearts that have the love of thee burning within, and then all that is for thee and for thy service. Wilt thou remember all that labor in thy service in the midst of our denomination, the teachers in all of our schools and all of the principals, and him that does take up that new position also for the benefit of all of our schools, that thou may supply also unto him. And wilt thou remember all of our youth and the rising generation? O Lord, many times we may read in the books that are left unto us by our fathers of the work that thou hast done in their days. Oh, could it please thee, and that it is not only to be read in the books, but that it may be experienced also in the hearts of office bearers, in the hearts of teachers, of fathers and of mothers, but also of our children and our rising generation, and that we may know what the work of thy Spirit is, and that we may also be given to hear from the housetops and what is taking place in our own inner chamber. Give us also such an ability in this afternoon. And then it is a word that always must be given by thee. For thou knowest, Lord, that of ourselves then we have nothing. Then we are dependent upon thee. Oh, that thou may look upon us, and that thou may give, that thy presence may be felt, and that thy nearness may be experienced in this afternoon hour. Do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great and holy name, forgiving all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 2 and 5. O let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed, to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. We announce this is the first wedding announcement of Andre Tickelar and Linda Baus, scheduled for Friday, September 16th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, September the 13th. 428 stanzas 2 and 5 in the last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, what more difficult thing is there to do in this world than parting? Especially when we do not expect that we shall see one another perhaps for a long time. Love for one another that desires to be together and that desires communion with one another. Some of us, we know what it is also to stand beside those whom we love so dearly and to have to say goodbye for the very last time in this world. And then you would say that there are especially some circumstances that it is really impossible. And when you see a father, and when you see a mother lying upon a deathbed, and a large family, little children standing all around, then you would say that it is really impossible. But the Lord, He does not ask any questions. We have spoken in the last weeks of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ that was to the right hand of His Father. That is a very great glory for Christ. But then it was also necessary that there be a parting, that He go away from His disciples. How now is it possible that we read that these disciples, that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy? Was there anyone in their whole life that they could not miss as that would be with Christ? Would we not say that it is now impossible for them that He should be gone, and yet they return with great joy? How is that possible? They have returned with the joy of faith. And that is not only as we have heard that the Lord Jesus was going to come again, which they believed by faith, but it was also that the Lord Jesus would remain with them, that is, with His Spirit. And something of this we wish to consider with you in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 20, and the 53rd question. Lord's Day 20, question 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? Answer first, that He is the true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that He is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and of all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about God the Holy Ghost. First, we want to consider the person of the Holy Ghost, and second, the work of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost, first in His person, second in His work. I believe in the Holy Ghost. That is the next article of our confession. For two Lord's days, we have heard about God the Father. For 9 Lord's days our fathers have explained to us concerning God the Son. And now for 1 Lord's day we hear about God the Holy Ghost. It is very necessary for us to receive instruction concerning the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there are many erroneous thoughts concerning the Holy Ghost that has been through the ages and that also continues unto this day. But the errors concerning the Holy Ghost are actually very serious errors. Why? Because of his work. That is, he is making his church partakers, we read, of Christ and all his benefits. Thus, it is the work of the application. Thus, the errors concerning the Holy Ghost, they are very serious errors. That is, errors of life and of death. What kind of errors are they? Well, there are errors in the first place that concern the person of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there are those that say that the Lord that the Holy Ghost is not a person. That the Holy Ghost, he is only a power. And that the Holy Ghost, he is actually just an attribute of God. That he is the gift of God. The Socinians, for example. And it is very true, of course, that the Holy Ghost is a gift of God, but to deny that he is also actually a person is to deny who that the Holy Ghost is. We can read that the Lord Jesus said of the Samaritans, that ye worship, ye know not what. And if we worship him as he is not, as he is not declared to us in the Holy Scriptures, then we do not worship the true God. What an insult would that be to us when men would see us as we are not. When they would consider us not to be even a person, when they would consider us to be a characteristic, when they would consider us just to be an attribute. But we read of, in the Bible, a triune God, that he is consisting of 3 persons in 1 holy being. The Apostle John, he writes that there are 3 that bear record in heaven, that is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we have read here out of Romans 8 and that the Holy Ghost, he is referred to by personal pronouns. That is, sometimes he is referred to as who. Or that he is referred to as him, as he that will raise up the dead. Thus you do not use personal pronouns for that which is only a characteristic, for that which is only an attribute. This error to deny the personality of the Holy Ghost, that is also an attack upon the comfort of the true church of God. And why? Well, because that means that the Holy Ghost has no mind, that the Holy Ghost has no understanding, that he has no will. But we have heard here that if any of you have not the Spirit of God, that he is none of his, and that he must have, we read, the mind of the Spirit. Thus, Paul says, the Spirit is he which bears witness, that we are the sons of God. Thus the Spirit, he has an understanding. He is a person. We read he does things, that he searches the deep things of God, we read. We have heard that the Spirit, he works. The Spirit is the one who is sending forth the ministers. We have heard that the Spirit is making intercession. He is making intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered, that cannot be said of an attribute, that cannot be said of a mere characteristic. We have heard that those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Well, an attribute, a characteristic, that is not that which leads, but it is a person who is leading that true church of God. We have heard that the Spirit of God, he comforts. Thus, an attack on the personhood is an attack also upon the comfort of God's children, because the Spirit of God, he has an understanding, and he knows what is going on in the heart and in the mind of each and every one of that church who has to go through this world. And when they may rejoice, then they may rejoice in the Spirit. And when they may mourn, they may also mourn by the Spirit. And then the Spirit, he has an understanding, and he knows when that church is, when it is necessary to give to them comfort. Thus, in the first place, the personhood of the Spirit. In the second place, there is an error concerning the divinity of the Spirit. That is, men would rob the Spirit of his Godhead. That is why our instructors, they say he is true and eternal God, co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. That is not what they have dreamt up in their own minds, but that is according to the Word of God. We can read that Peter spoke to Ananias concerning lying to the Holy Ghost. He says that he has lied when he lied to the Holy Ghost, not lied unto men, but that he has lied unto God. The Apostle Paul, he calls him the Eternal Spirit. Thus, he is the uncreated Spirit. Well, there is only one that is uncreated. There is only one that is from eternity, and that is God himself. Thus, the Spirit, he has the attributes of the holy, of the divine being. What does David say, boys and girls, about the Spirit? He says, "Whither shall I flee from thy Spirit?" Do you ever feel that, boys and girls? He says, "If I go up into heaven, thou art there. And if I descend into hell, behold," he says, "thou art there." There is nowhere. Not in all the universe, not in heaven, not in hell, that a man, he is able to be away from that Holy Spirit of the Lord. We can read about his sovereignty. We can read about his omniscience. We read that he is called the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Thus, the divine attributes. And also, he does the works that are divine, the works that no man can do. What are they? Well, we read in the creation and that he was also there, and that he was also creating, as we read, that the Spirit of God did move upon the face of the waters. And we can read in God's Word that it is the Spirit of God that is responsible for the application of the merits of Christ in the life, in the hearts of God's children. To Him are given divine honors because we are called to pray to Him. The Lord Jesus, He said that we must pray the Lord of the harvest that He may send forth laborers into His harvest. Who is that Lord of the harvest that sends forth His laborers? That is the Holy Spirit. Thus we are commanded to pray to Him. Well, we may only pray to God. And we are commanded to worship Him, but we may also only worship God. And we are baptized in His name, but we may not be baptized in the name of any other than God. And the benediction is in His name, which may only be done in the name of God. And so we see throughout the Word of God that He is not only a person, but that He is actually the divine person, that He is God Himself. There is a third error, and that third error has to do with the procession of the Spirit. We know that the first person He is called Father, and the second person He is called Son. And why? That is because of their relation. You know of what that is too, boys and girls, what a father is and what a son is. And a son, he is begotten of the Father. And that is the reason that the Father is called Father. And that is the reason that the Son is called Son. But why is the Spirit called Spirit? Well, that is because the Spirit is proceeding. Thus, the Spirit, He is proceeding from the Father and the Son. But those three words, and the Son, they have been the subject of great controversy at one time in the early church. Those three words are called the Filioque. That was a subject of controversy between the Latin and the Greek churches. And then it was the Eastern Church that refused to say that the Holy Spirit proceeds also from the Son. Thus they rejected those three words, and the Son. They said that as far as they could go would be to say that the Spirit, He proceeds through the Son, but he is not proceeding from the Son, but He only proceeds from the Father. Great controversy it was. But we read clearly in the Word of God that He is called also the Spirit of Christ, that He is called the Spirit of the Son. Thus, the Father and the Son, both in unity, in one mind, sending forth the Spirit of Christ. Do we ask for that Spirit from the Father, who sends Him also on behalf of that Son? Thus we have in the first place something about the person of that Holy Ghost. In our second thought, we want to consider something of the work. The work of the Holy Ghost, as our fathers say, first, that He is the true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that He is also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. What an interest that you and I ought to have in the work of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because without the work of the Holy Ghost, you and I perish. Though that we have heard the name of Christ our whole life long, it is necessary that we become the objects of the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That is, we say that especially for you young people, because you will hear much if you open your ears a little in the world in which we live, and especially in the so-called Christian world in which we still may live. But there are also many errors in the modern Christendom. And when you will open your ears and you will listen, then you will hear things that you say, is that right? Is that not right? We know that the whole Christian world that has been inundated with the Arminian doctrine. What does the Arminian doctrine say about the work of the Holy Ghost? Well, you will hear them say, yes, the work of the Holy Ghost is necessary. Well, that makes it ever more difficult, doesn't it? Because then it comes ever closer to the truth. However, then you must ask questions further, because you must distinguish between the truth and what is error. Then you may ask this question: is that Holy Ghost given unto all men? And what will be their answer? That will be yes. And what is our answer? That is no. And we say that on the basis of the Holy Word of God. Say, how can you say that? That Holy Ghost is not given unto each and every man, leaving it in the over to the will of man to exercise that ability that he is given by the Holy Ghost, that he may do a spiritual thing such as to accept and to receive Christ. But the Lord Jesus says something so different. Because the Lord Jesus, when he spoke about the Holy Ghost, we hope to hear a little more of that later, the Lord willing, when he speaks about the wind blowing where it listeth, and you hear the sound but don't know where it comes from and where it goes. Then he spoke about the Spirit. And when he spoke about the Spirit, then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, he did not say that every man is given in a common way that Holy Ghost in order that he may now make that decision and has now the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill that decision. No, he says that a man, he must be born again. Something must happen in the life of a man. And we hope that also our young people, children, that you begin to understand these things, that you listen even with your minds, that you may come to be able to distinguish between that which is truth and that which is error, that seems to come so close unto the truth. They are important matters. They are matters that are between life and death. And therefore we say, hold always on to these things. It sounds so good when you will hear men say, well,
The Bible is that is all revealed, that is a finished revelation, so that no new revelation needs to be given unto man. That sounds good. That is right, is it not, children? Bible is done, right? In the last chapter of the Bible, then it says that if any man will add unto these words, that the Lord will add to him the curses that are written in this book. No, then we need to add nothing nor take anything away from those holy scriptures. But that does not mean that a man is not in need of light into those scriptures. That does not mean that a man is not in need that the Lord would reveal himself in their own life, in their own heart, in a personal way. Our fathers, they say, he is also given me. Is he also given you? What does that mean? He is also given me. Well, then we also must make a distinction, because these words, they also do not necessarily always mean that same thing. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 6, he writes, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." Thus, he speaks about the falling away. Falling away? Falling away of a man who has been a partaker of the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, that does not sound right, because I understand the doctrine, and the doctrine that says that we believe in the perseverance of the saints. Thus, once a man is a partaker of the Holy Ghost, then it is impossible that such a man would ever fall away, that he would fall out of grace. So how can Paul say this? Well, then we must understand what it means when he says to be a partaker of the Holy Ghost. Then it is not always meaning as our fathers are meaning here when they say that he is also given me. Then it is not always meaning that the Spirit is given to a person in his personhood. But it is speaking sometimes about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. What are the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Well, there are natural gifts of the Holy Ghost in the early church. Then we can read that some of those gifts, because that church was just beginning, the Lord has given gifts in the very beginning of the church in a way that have not continued to this time. So that there were the apostles who may speak in tongues, that was assigned to them who did not believe. We can read that the apostles, they actually did miracles. We can read that they were prophesying. Think even of the Old Testament, the King Saul. We can read that he prophesied. They are the gifts. They were also partakers of the Holy Ghost in the sense that they receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. How is that today? Well, then God's ministers, they do not receive those gifts in the same way as before. No, they do receive gifts, however. The one that is receiving gifts for expounding the Scriptures. The one that is receiving gifts of the ability to draw out in conversation what is going on in the heart of a man. One is receiving gifts in prayer and so on. Thus we have the natural gifts that the Lord is giving even unto the end of the world. And in that sense, they are then the partakers of the Holy Ghost. But there are also spiritual gifts, and yet we do not speak yet about that which is saving. But there are spiritual gifts in this sense, that the Spirit of the Lord can enlighten a man. There are those who may be given within the church, not necessarily even in the office, but men of understanding that may read in God's Word. Women, that God's ministers, they have gone to, they have received instruction from, because they have been enlightened in that holy Word of God. But it can even be that a man without grace, that in a natural way, that he is receiving more light into the Scriptures in a natural way than God's children are. But Paul, he even speaks about tasting. He says there are those that taste of that Word of God, and yet it is not saving. That is speaking as the Lord Jesus does about that seed that is falling into that wayside, that a seed that is shooting up quickly, so that there is more in the life of that people than only an intellectual knowledge, but that there is also an affection, that there is sometimes a burning in the heart of that people, that there is sometimes a joy, that there is sometimes a sorrow that is experienced. If these, he says, fall away, what does that mean, to fall away? That is not to fall just into sin. And it says, if these should fall into sin, just as David fell into sin, or as Peter fell into sin, or as Samson fell into sin, because that would include each and every one of that true church. But he speaks about falling away. He speaks about an open apostasy. That man, he is openly rejecting the Word of God, that he has received it once, but now that he is proclaiming to others that it is false, even that it is of the devil. These are those who are hardened. They do not mind the Lord. They do not pray unto the Lord. They are not fearful of committing that sin against the Holy Ghost. He says it is impossible to bring that people to repentance because they have rejected that Word of God, and they are delivered over into the hands of Satan. Fearful thing. However, the devil, he is often mocking in the hearts of God's children, so that they are including themselves in such a way when they fear that they are also to be numbered among that people, and therefore we wish to consider more what our fathers do mean when they say that he is also given me. But let us sing first from Psalter 389. Stanza 5. Lord, save me from my foe. To thee for help I flee. Teach me thy way to know. I have no God but thee. And what follows in the fifth stanza of Psalter 389. Secondly, that he is also given me. Thus, congregation, it is clear that our fathers reject the Arminian doctrine, that our fathers, even as Christ speaks, so speak they, that is, of a very special grace, of a special working of the Holy Spirit. And what question does plague the heart of God's children more in the midst of this world? Whether that they themselves are also partakers of this Holy Ghost. Thus, how can we know this? Is it even possible? Indeed, it is possible. We may know it. And we ought to ask for this, because there is nothing more important in our whole life. Say, how can we know it? Because the Holy Ghost, that is a spirit, how can I know that it is given to me, boys and girls, a spirit you cannot see, a spirit that is invisible? He does not have a physical presence. You cannot see him, you cannot feel him. How may you know it? Well, what did the Lord Jesus say when he spoke about the Spirit? He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So thou hearest that it is there, and you can see the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind itself. Then he says what? He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So now you may know how that we may know the presence of the Spirit of God, that is from the fruits of his presence. And that is why our fathers, they speak about the work. The work of the Holy Ghost. In order that we may certainly know whether that Holy Ghost is given unto me or not. Thus true religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. That Holy Spirit, what does he now do, our fathers say, when he takes up his abode in the heart and in the life of a person? Our fathers say it clearly. They say, to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all his benefits. Christ, he says, of the Spirit, he shall glorify me. He shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Thus, that is now the great work of the Spirit of God, that is to make that church partakers of Christ and all his benefits. That is to unite their hearts unto Christ, and that is that they may be made recipients of all those benefits which have been bought by Christ in his humiliation, to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits. Outside of Christ, then it is impossible to be made partaker of the benefits of Christ. Why? Well, in the first place, because it is a spiritual gift. And we have just heard out of the Word of God that the natural man
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thus, outside of that Spirit, we cannot spiritually discern the Word of God, because we are spiritually dead. There is no breath, there is no desire, there is no hunger, no thirst. Let us just look within ourselves after God. In the second place, our fathers, they say, by a true faith partaker. But we have no true faith without the Spirit of God, because that faith, that is a gift of God. And we can say with our mouth that we do accept, we do receive Christ in our life, as it is said by many. But such a statement that does not unite a man unto Christ. Thus, without the Spirit, it is impossible to be a partaker of Christ and all his benefits. Why? In the third place, because we are at enmity with Christ. That we also just heard out of Romans 8. And we can read it again when you come home. Enmity. Say, I don't hate him. Well, the Lord Jesus, he says himself, that any man to enter into that kingdom, he must deny himself, and he must take up his cross, and he must follow me. And man does not so deny himself. You say many men deny themselves. So be it. But they do not deny themselves in that way that Christ says is necessary to deny themselves. As he says that a man, if he shall keep his life, he shall lose it. And if he shall lose his life for my sake, even he shall gain it. And a man does not so deny himself, as Satan even himself did say, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. The Holy Spirit has a great, great work to do. Do you believe that? Do you feel that sometimes? That you say, what a great wonder that it would be in my life because of the deadness, because of the coldness, and because I go to God's house, yes, but I cannot change my heart. I cannot give to myself the love that is living in the heart of God's children. Do you ever feel something of that impossibility? A great work to do. Because a man does not need only to be resurrected from the dead, but the enmity that is living in our hearts against Christ and against his way of salvation, that needs to be broken. And that does not happen in one day. The Lord is free, that is true. But most of the time, that doesn't happen in one day. Most people, they are not converted as a Saul of Tarsus. Many more people, they are converted in a way wherein they are brought up under the truth. Just like Timothy, young people, so you do not need to be jealous or ever think to yourself that I will go out into the world, and if the Lord will convert me, he will bring me back. No, you only work out sorrows, even if the Lord will convert you. Sorrows that will remain with you for the rest of your life. Most of the time, the Lord is working in a different way. We know that that is not such a drastic way outwardly, but many of those that are brought out of the tavern into the church, they are not necessarily converted either. Many of them also end as Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul says, having loved this present world. Thus, it is not what is outward, but it is what is inward. You know what the Lord Jesus says? He says it starts like a mustard seed. Did you ever see a mustard seed? You can hardly see a mustard seed. Mustard seed that is so small. That is now how that the Lord is beginning in the life of a man, a boy, a girl, a young man, a young woman. Many times, most of the time, in their youth, young people. Oh, seek the word of God, because we read that the Spirit of the Lord that began to move Samson at times. How does the Lord make a person a partaker, we read, of Christ and of all his benefits? How? Well, in the first place, he makes him to love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? What must you say to that? That is in the first place necessary. Why? Well, if a man never loved the Lord, then why would he ever need the Lord Jesus Christ? What is now the work of Christ? Well, he is the mediator. That is between God and a sinner. The work of Christ is to bring back to God. And when we have never loved God, then why would we need the Lord Jesus Christ? And why would we ever love the Lord Jesus Christ for the work that he has done to bring a man back to God? And thus, the first work, that is a man, he begins to love God. You see a man, he is out, and he is serving all this world. Or maybe he is a man that comes always to the house of God, but he comes always out of form, out of custom. And he desires, boys and girls, maybe you desire that too. You say it is getting late. And now we wait for the minister to stop. Then we may go home again. And now that changes. Do you know what the Spirit of the Lord does? He puts something in your heart. For the Lord, for the day of the Lord, for the house of the Lord. Then you say, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. Does that live in your heart? Love to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, he makes room for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is in the second place necessary. Why? Because it lives not in our heart by nature. And it lives not in our heart also after regeneration. After regeneration. Because then a man, he does not distinguish between the persons of the Godhead. And love for God is not the same as love for Christ. But the Spirit of the Lord, he will give that same love for Christ as he gives love for God in the life of a man. Love for God that makes a man desire to be with God,
that makes a man desire his favor, his communion. And what does the Spirit of the Lord show a man? That it is his sin that is standing between himself and God, that he cannot receive that communion. Thus, love to God makes a man desire to flee from that sin. Love to God that makes a man join that warfare, that militant church. Our fathers, they used to say, welcome in the strife. But now all the love to God and all of that obedience that is flowing out of that love to God cannot win his favor. That is now the experience, that is now the lesson that the Spirit of the Lord is instructing that people in. The Spirit of the Lord makes a man partaker of Christ and all his benefits. What does that mean? That means that I have to be put out of the way. The Spirit of the Lord is instructing a man in his utter depravity. He is instructing a man in the utter impossibility. Why? All for that one purpose, that he may make him a partaker of Christ and of all his benefits. Joseph, he would make his brothers also a partaker of himself and all his benefits. But first, they had to come to understand and to acknowledge that they were not such honest men as they said that they were. Ask that people if they are now converted. Ask that people if they are recipients of the Holy Ghost. Ask them if they are regenerated. No, they feel just the opposite. A man feels himself so lost. A man feels himself so unconverted. It is true that there are desires that a man is not able to deny. And yet the corruption of that heart that is now only increasing, so that a man, he becomes such a riddle to himself. That was the way with Newton too. He said, if I love, if that is now true, why am I thus? That he is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits. That is truly a way that is against the flesh of a man. Therefore, the necessity of the instruction, the powerful, the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, heavenly lessons, to make him such a partaker, because there is going to come a day for that people. In all their wretchedness and in all their impossibility, that Spirit of the Lord, he is also going to open something to them concerning that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that will be an unforgettable day when an unsought for and undesired mediator will be open to them as the way, as the truth, and as the life. Oh, that is a day that they are going to see as they have never seen before. They are going to begin to love as they have never loved before. And that not only God himself, but they are going to begin also to make a distinction and to begin to love their heart that will begin to go out after that second person. That is a people that will be made willing by the Lord so to humble themselves, even like a little child, to climb with Zacchaeus into the sycamore tree. If only that they may see Jesus. They will come to that house of the Lord. They will say, minister, let me hear his name. Oh, tell me who he is. And that for such a wretched and a miserable people as I am.
Oh, when that Spirit of the Lord is opening who that Christ is, and then that soul that is desiring that they may be made a partaker of Him. They are not a partaker of Him, but it opens the possibility that they may yet become a partaker of Him, and not only of Him, but of all His benefits. And what is not a benefit? That great benefit of Christ. He is the mediator. He is the mediator. It goes back to that first desire that the Lord has given a man in that regeneration after the true and the living God. The Lord, He is not speaking into the air. No, it is not a confusion. It may seem so, but it is no confusion, the leading of that Spirit of the Lord. The Lord, He is working step by step, and for a great reason. That is, that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. Christ and all His benefits. What are the benefits? The time does not allow us. The benefits of Christ, that is a right we have heard of this morning. A right to enter into that place of glory, into the presence of the Father. And not only a right to it, but the benefits of Christ, of all that mediatorial labor applied also unto me to make me fit. Oh, to, because we heard that no unclean thing shall enter into that place. That is the benefit of Christ, by which that people may be made partakers by that Holy Ghost to actually be brought into the presence of God. Congregation, we have to go. Our Father said, given also unto me. Is He now given also unto you? You say, that is a great thing to say. I'm glad that you do not want to say very quickly that you have something which you do not have. The world is full of this. But are you a complete stranger of even the beginning of the lessons that the Lord is instructing by His Holy Spirit? And there is so much more. Because He is also the Spirit that seals. And that speaks about the assurance that is in every act of faith. But we have no time to do that today. Pray. Congregation, pray. Pray earnestly for the work of that Spirit of the Lord. It is the Almighty Spirit of God and of Christ. And not only pray for it, but look for it. Look for it. That is, He is using His Word. Look for it, beg for it, wait for it. The disciples, they returned joyful to Jerusalem, and then they waited. They waited for a gift that was the promise of the Holy Ghost, and He is able to accomplish. When you are discouraged and you say that I have no ability and you feel something of that, you discourage sometimes young people, or don't you ever think of it? We have to die. Do you believe that? How many people in their life, they have been going to church all their life long, and they come on their deathbed, and that is the first time in their life that they have seriously considered for themselves what it means to have a soul and to be going to a great and a never-ending eternity. Oh, do you feel, do you think on these things? Do you meditate on these things? And are you ever discouraged because you say, I cannot give it to myself? Well, then ask, pray for that Holy Spirit. Because it is His work. His work, not your work. It is His work. To make a man a partaker of Christ and of all His benefits. And those benefits, as we have heard in this morning, they are very, very great. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can give ourselves nothing, and but Thou hast given that work into the hand of Thy Spirit, and Thou dost particularly give that work to Him. Lord, could it please Thee also for us? Oh, give us then, each one, to fold our hands and to bow our knees and to go into our inner chambers and to not let Thee go except that Thou would bless us. Be with us when we depart from here. And wilt Thou help us, each one, in the labors of our hands in the week to come? Give us to keep Thy holy day, that we may not spend it in the thoughts of the world, speaking the words of the world and of ourselves, but may it be with a heart that seeks Thee, and that Thou would grant Thy blessing upon Thy word of this morning, of this afternoon. Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Wilt Thou be with us when we hope this week to meet with our confession class, to meet as a consistory? They are labors within Thy house. Or that Thou may grant Thy indispensable blessing. Forgive, take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 159 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows in Psalter 159, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.